Welcome everybody to the ProWrestling.net live British Invasion with me, Hayden Gleeds, and I'm joined this evening by the wonderful Darren Guttridge. How are you, my friend?
I'm wonderful.
Wonderful. I'm just going to get one word answers from you tonight.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. This is a great start. I do need to point out before we get into this that we are not actually live. We are recording this. I know. I can only imagine what would happen if they gave me and you both a live mic, Darren.
Terrible things.
Terrible.
We just discussed something truly terrible before we turned the microphones on, so.
And for a fee, I will reveal what we talked about. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But yeah, we are here to discuss WrestleMania. Before we get into all that, I feel that we do need to address the sad news of the death of Chris Travis, who was a British independent wrestler. He died at the absolutely young age of 32 years old from stomach cancer. Darren, did you get the opportunity to ever see Chris Travis in action?
Yes, I think I saw his last match, actually. He came back at Progress Wrestling the time I was there. He wrestled Marty Scurll. And he looked like it was all behind him. So the news this morning that it has tragically taken his life was quite the shock to me. And yeah, a big loss from the British independent wrestling. A lot of independent wrestlers and, you know, WWE wrestlers, NXT wrestlers, TNA wrestlers have all come out today and said how great a person he was and how much talent he had and where he could have gone to had a tragedy not struck. So, yeah, bad news and thoughts and prayers go out to his family and friends.
Definitely, I completely echo that. 32 years old is just far too young. So I just want to extend my thoughts and prayers to his friends and family and absolutely shocking news this morning. So there is no easy way to transition from that. So I think we should just get in straight into the WrestleMania goodness. Darren, on the ProWrestling.net scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for WrestleMania 32?
A 3. I am not even slightly excited about this WrestleMania. This is the most low key I've ever come into to a WrestleMania. There's only one match that I'd say I'm okay. One match I'm genuinely looking forward to. One or two that could be good. There's a chance, but a lot of stuff I'm just shaking my head at in disbelief. How about you?
I'm at a 5, and I'm not sure why. But this morning I woke up and I thought, "Oh, WrestleMania's this weekend," and I got slightly excited. So I don't know if it's just a little phase. It's absolutely nothing to do with the way it's been promoted. I think the promotion of the actual event has been shocking. But just WrestleMania itself has got me excited. And as you said, I'm probably the same as you. I think we're talking about the same match when I say there's only one match that's really grabbed my attention. There's a few other things that which we'll get to that interest me but mostly for the wrong reasons. So I think without further ado, we'll actually go through the card and actually see where our thoughts lie. So we're going to start from the top. The match that I think we all assume is going to go on last, based on the hype that they gave on the go-home show of Raw last Monday, is the World Wrestling Federation Championship match between Triple H and Roman Reigns. Darren, do you think Roman Reigns comes out of this as a babyface?
Well, if he's winning the World Wrestling Federation Championship, maybe.
Oh, God.
It's been 10 years, dude.
What can I say? I'm in my 30s. Like, I'm... Oh.
Get out of the past, bro. Get the F out.
That is shocking. I can't believe I said that. World Wrestling Entertainment Championship.
WWE. Just say WWE.
WWE Championship. There you go, Darren. Thank you for mocking me and embarrassing me in front of all the listeners.
You're very welcome. That's what I'm here to do. what was the question?
I'm actually blushing now. Thank you very much.
I'm ever so proud. What was the question, Hayden? Sorry, I was too transfixed on you saying Federation.
Does Roman Reigns come out of the match on Sunday as a babyface?
I think so. Because we've just been down this road so many times recently where everyone comes up with these interesting scenarios for Roman Reigns. I use the word interesting loosely because I just don't think there is an interesting route for Roman Reigns to take. But, you know, every pay-per-view we come to, especially Fastlane, there was all these theories of, oh, he could do this, this could happen, and they always pick the most boring, straightforward, obvious path, which is Roman Reigns is a babyface, despite all evidence to the contrary. And I think they're going to have this going to happen again here. I just don't see them doing the turn that everyone is hoping and praying for. I think it's going to be as straightforward as Roman Reigns wins the title and gets booed. Because they don't have, at least on the surface, they don't have that 11th hour save as they did last year with Seth Rollins. So I just think, I don't see them doing a turn at all. So, yeah, I think he comes out as champion and remains a babyface.
I just think it's highly embarrassing at the biggest show of the year that their lead babyface is going to be booed as much as we anticipate that he's going to be. It's insane. I have no words to sort of describe how stubborn Vince McMahon must be to just say, I'm going with this guy, it doesn't matter what the reaction is, what people think, I'm going to go with him. And to be quite honest with you, I think we've gone so far down that route now that he's just going to dig his heels in. I know he already has to some degree already, but I just think that if there was going to be a heel turn, it would have been by now. I do have a hope, and it is only a hope, and I did put this in my written preview, that what happens on Sunday is that he wins the championship, he stands in the middle of the ring and he gets booed, and he uses that as inspiration for a heel turn on Monday. But you've made a very good point just now, Darren, is the fact that I'm sure this is not the first time I've said that.
Exactly. Everyone clutches at straws when it comes to this, and it just hasn't happened yet. So why should we believe anything else? But here's the thing. I don't even think a heel turn's going to help, because I don't think this is a different situation to John Cena. A John Cena heel turn, you'll just switch the reactions of the crowd. They'll just start, the fans that boo him now will start cheering and vice versa. I don't think that happens with Roman. I think they'll just carry on booing because they don't, it's not that they don't want to see babyface Roman Reigns. I truly believe they just don't want to see Roman Reigns. For all the many factors that we're not going to go into now of why people dislike, not necessarily him, I don't think, maybe to a little extent, but the thought of Roman Reigns being the next John Cena, I think that's what they're booing, and I don't think that changes with a heel turn.
So you think it's more sort of go-away heat as opposed to actual heat?
Definitely. Absolutely. I don't think that the fans have just... Basically, it's like they've just got out of a long-term relationship with John Cena. He's still around, but I mean, he's now easing off as the face of the company. And now they've just picked somebody who just seems like they're just going to be a carbon copy, but not as good. Roman Reigns isn't as good as John Cena, I don't think, especially not right now. He doesn't have the mic skills. They've been hiding, they've been protecting him as much as they can in that regard. Yes, he has one or two flashy moves, but long-form matches are not his forte. Yes, he's put in there with some situations, like with Brock Lesnar, like with Daniel Bryan. Stuff can happen. He's not the worst person they could have picked, but I just think, and me personally, I am not interested in a product that has Roman Reigns on top, whether he's heel or babyface. Could I be wrong? Could they come out and it turns out he's this fantastic heel? Maybe. But I don't see it happening. I have had problems. I disliked Roman Reigns before it was cool. Let me point that out. The first time I ever saw him as the thoroughbred on NXT, I said, this guy has problems. He has a lot of potential. He has a lot of athleticism. But he has problems, and they have yet to abate, even though we're so much farther down the road with him.
I do disagree with you to a point in terms of Roman not being a good heel. What I'll say first of all is I don't think it's a slam dunk that he's going to be, if he does indeed turn, that he'll be as good as everyone makes out straight away. I do think that there's still an element of doubt whether or not he can actually pull it off. But what I would say is that in the short term, if he did turn and it wasn't working out, the rub that you'd give whoever beat him, the person that would give the fans exactly what they want, that rub would transfer then to whoever beat him. So I think, as it stands right now, him as a babyface is not doing anyone any good. Whereas even if he's a terrible heel, he'll still do some good. Does that make any sense?
Kind of. And I agree with the notion that a heel Roman Reigns is better than a babyface Roman Reigns.
I think that's what I'm trying to say in a very long way.
But I, again, it's the Roman Reigns problem, not the babyface Roman Reigns problem. I think if he turns heel, he'll just stay exactly where it is. If he remains babyface, there's a chance they might say, look, okay, we get it, you don't want to see him. Here's something you might like instead. I think a heel turn, they'll think, oh, it's renewed vigour. He's getting booed. They might get tricked into thinking he's getting booed instead of please go away booed. And they'll just keep him as strong as ever. And that doesn't solve the problem for me. That just changes the problem ever so slightly. This is why I think that for these many reasons that if I just don't see a happy outcome, at least in terms of the crowd reaction, match wise, it could be okay. Triple H hasn't been working, you know, everyone's saying he's working slow these days, but I just don't think he's been in the situation where he's had to work a better match than that. He's been on Raw, he's been on Roadblock, so WrestleMania, he might have haunting nightmares of WrestleMania 25 still in his head, so he might want to try and pull it out here. A match good enough to shoot everybody up, I don't think that's going to happen this year, but for all these reasons and many more, this is why I don't think this goes on last.
Mr. Positivity, ladies and gentlemen. Darren Guttridge.
I told you, I'm at a three. So yeah. If you're looking for positivity for WrestleMania, you're not going to hear it. NXT TakeOver Dallas? Awesome. Hell yes. WrestleMania 32? Not so much.
But Darren, that happened last night.
Oh, yes, it did. And it was fantastic. I'll go out on a limb right now and say, wow, I did not see that coming. A triple moonsault? What?
And what they did with those cows was just insane.
You didn't think the cows would work, and then 10 minutes later, over as anything. My God.
I think we just broke the fourth wall.
You know what, though? If that all happens,
yeah.
Just saying, you know, clairvoyancy wouldn't be the first time.
Going back to WrestleMania.
Oh.
I know. I do agree with you to a point as well. So I do agree with your point that I think people have been a bit unfair with Triple H with the two matches he's had, simply because they're the first matches he's had in 6 months or so, if not longer. I can't even remember the last time. No, it was last year was his last match, wasn't it? So, you know, it is going to take a bit of time to get back into the flow of it. I do agree with the fact that if it starts off as slow as the Dean Ambrose and the Dolph Ziggler matches, it does give the crowd the chance to get on the back of Roman Reigns. So I do hope that it is slightly faster paced. But as I said, I just wanted to make that point, because I have heard some people complain about the slowness of his matches, and I just wanted to make that point. Is there any chance that Triple H comes out of this match as the WWE champion?
Maybe they're going to cut weight with Roman Reigns and say, okay, Roman's not working, but obviously people dislike Triple H. There could be some scenarios coming out this show that lead up to a match at Extreme Rules that could take somebody else taking the title off him, but I think the storyline, either way they go, heel turn or not, I think it's going to work, not work best, but I think they're going to want to try and make it work with Roman with that title, however they come out of this show.
I am slightly intrigued by the notion of, say, Shane McMahon wins the Hell in a Cell and takes control of Raw, but Triple H is the champion. There's something in me, I don't know why, but I'm kind of intrigued as to how that dynamic would work. But at the same time, I think, as you said, it's the storyline points to the fact that Roman Reigns goes over and wins the championship, and then from there, yeah, we'll see what happens. But have you got anything else you want to say about this match before we move on, Darren?
No, I'm good to move on.
Oh, fantastic. The next match that we're going to talk about may be the final match. Literally, these could flip-flop around. We just don't know at this point. It's The Undertaker against Shane McMahon in a Hell in a Cell match. If Shane McMahon wins, he gains control of Raw, and in the process, The Undertaker loses, therefore he cannot compete at WrestleMania again. Darren, before I say my opinion on it, I give you the floor, my friend.
Oh, I wish you hadn't. If you go back a few weeks, there was a .NET Weekly where I appeared on. Hayden is yet to appear on this show, of course. But I basically laid out every problem I had with The Undertaker versus Shane McMahon. This was the week of the announcement. Everything was raw. And I thought, even when I was recording that, will I feel different come Sunday, come WrestleMania time? I don't. I still think it's a desperate idea. I still think it's a bad idea. And I still think every way you slice it... I'm not necessarily saying it was a stupid thing to do, but I think it was a short-sighted... And it's not going to be as good as some people have tried to convince me otherwise of. But I will say this. For me, not a great idea. For marketing purposes, this has worked ridiculously well. Everyone I know that kind of, you know, jumps on the wrestling bandwagon in time for Mania, they are not talking about Triple H and Roman Reigns at all. I don't think Roman Reigns has even been mentioned to me by my friends who were just kind of, you know, get back into the swing of things. They are all about The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. So from a marketing point of view, which I suppose is what Shawn, it's supposed to
Shawn,
do.
Shawn Michaels? Is Shawn Michaels in a Hell in a Cell?
Did I say Shawn Michaels, not Shane McMahon?
See, I'm gonna call you out now.
Oh, I'd be so much happier if it was Shawn Michaels versus... Sorry. But it's still absurd for me to have to say The Undertaker versus Shane McMahon in a Hell in a Cell. Yeah, they are all about that match. So it worked. Will it work on Sunday night? That's a different question. But in the terms of selling WrestleMania 32, it worked.
And that's the thing. It's that old saying, the end justifies the means. And it shouldn't work. On any level, none of it should work. The storyline doesn't make sense. The fact that it's a non-wrestler going up against a legend. It's the fact that... It's just so many things going against it. But yeah, for some reason, it is very compelling. I still can't put my finger on why I'm so compelled by this. There is a side of me, obviously, that's basically looking for the big bump and to see what they pull off, and I am slightly worried about both of them, simply because, and again, no disrespect to them, but because of their age, I'm just a little bit nervous. But at the same time, it's going to be a spectacle, and at the end of the day, that's what WrestleMania is all about.
Morbid curiosity perhaps best sums up my anticipation for this match, and I still maintain that no matter how they come out of this, it's a bad idea. But I am a little bit curious to see what Shane's going to do. I am a bit curious to see what shenanigans get pulled. Because you know, for an absolute fact, this is not going to stay one-on-one. There is going to be some run-ins galore in this match. Now, hopefully that means it doesn't turn into Triple H versus Sting from last year, which was absurd and awful. Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But...
That's the thing. There's a spectacle, and then there's a bad spectacle, and that's in my humble opinion. Well, that's what it turned into last year.
I'll get to the run-ins in a second, but I mean, okay, let's just say they do keep this straight up Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker. What match are they going to be able to put on? It's going to get so absurd that these two men, one who isn't a trained wrestler and one who is past his prime and then some, coming into this match, what are they going to do? It's so interesting to me. I'm kind of but what's going to happen? I'm not expecting a good match. That's the thing. I'm just expecting a car crash that I get to watch happen in front of my eyes. You know Shane McMahon is going to attempt to dive off something very high, possibly even the Hell in the Cell. He might even do one better than Mick Foley and dive through both of the announced tables. But I still don't think... And then he gets to the ending. Okay. Everything rides on the Undertaker loss. Everything. Taker wins, nothing changes other than the Undertaker wins. So, but then that means that to actually get an outcome out of this match that matters, that they kind of have promised the fans at this point almost with putting everything, making the end result so lopsided.
Yeah.
That means the Undertaker has to lose at WrestleMania to Shane McMahon. Contemplate that sentence out of context for a second, and you can tell why it's such a stupid idea.
And that's the thing, 12 months ago, if you had said that sentence to any wrestling fan, that in a year's time, there's a strong possibility that Shane McMahon could beat The Undertaker, in the Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania, they would have called the people in the white coats. You know, it is insane.
Because go on, sorry.
No, I was just going to say from my perspective, you know, you've already mentioned it. It's going to be about the run-ins. It's going to be about the interference, and I do see basically the Undertaker beating the holy hell out of Shane McMahon. I think that is literally going to be the majority of the match when this one-on-one. But then it's all about. I think Shane's going to do an insane bump, and then. Similar in a way to the Hell in a Cell with Mick Foley. For whatever reason, they raise the Hell in a Cell. Someone runs down, does something to the Undertaker, and I think he'll go on for a little bit longer, and then eventually Shane will just have his arm draped across the Undertaker for the 1-2-3. That's the way I see it happening. Because as you said, I'm not necessarily saying that's the best ending, and the fact that it's the Undertaker at WrestleMania. You know, is an insane thought, but because otherwise you're setting up the fans for an expectation which can't be met. And on top of that, I don't think that this has been made a point hasn't been made enough. Sorry, I just couldn't get my words out then. Shane McMahon has been on the telly basically saying how bad Raw sucks for the last 6 weeks. If he doesn't win, then you're essentially telling the fans, okay, well, you're going to have to carry on watching that show. That sucks.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. Every way you try and get out of this match, there's a bad point to it. There is that's not great because of X, Y, and Z. And I'm going to go one step further than saying it's insane for Shane McMahon to beat The Undertaker. I'm going to say it's insulting for Shane McMahon to beat The Undertaker. Because he's a part... time guy, he's not a wrestler, take that out of the equation. The Undertaker's loss at WrestleMania was always meant to be, if it was going to happen, if they were going to break the streak, it had to be to somebody they could count on for the next 10 years to be the next big thing. Now, ultimately, it was Brock Lesnar that ended it. They haven't capitalized fully, as I would have wanted them to, on that, but it happened, we have to move on. Let's turn our minds back to last year. He was facing Bray Wyatt. Now, Bray Wyatt is somebody that could feasibly be a big-time heel for the next 10 years, right? The mystique of the streak had already gone, but beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania still matters. Bray Wyatt has been in a tailspin for the last 12 months because they didn't have the balls to say, you know what, he is the new face of evil, and guess what, he just beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. If you've given away the mystique of the streak 12 months earlier, why not do that? Why not capitalise on that? And lead that into this being The Undertaker saying, you know what, I got beat at back-to-back WrestleManias, it's obviously my time, it's time to ride off into the sunset. Now, that would have involved John Cena wrestling him, I understand that, yeah. Or maybe facing Bray Wyatt again and stuff like that, but that still would have been a good outcome. Shane McMahon's not going to gain much out of this at all if he beats The Undertaker, other than we have to then live with the fact for the rest of our lives that Shane McMahon beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
I do see your point, and I do completely agree. I just think that if Shane's going to win, it's not going to be because of Shane McMahon. And I know that, again, and insulting is a good word, and I'm not going to go against that. But, and this is going to lead into my next question. If whoever comes down and takes out The Undertaker for Shane, if that leads to... a push or a rub for that person or individuals, are you happier with that?
I'm going to leave myself a little bit open here just to have a get-out-of-jail-free card. It is within the realms of possibility that they could find a finish that I like that leads to something good. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, I don't see what that is. Because the big sexy rumour is that it's going to be Finn Balor. And he's going to run down... with or without Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, whatever, he's going to run down and he's going to help Shane win. And he's going to be Shane's guy going forward. And that's been put out there. And I was like, okay, in the moment, seeing the demon Finn Balor come down to face The Undertaker, that's going to be cool. But then, Finn Balor didn't beat The Undertaker, Shane McMahon did. It's not like Finn Balor pinned him or anything. He just came down and waffled him with a chair or did something to him that allowed Shane to win. And then what a weird dynamic that's going to be. Shane McMahon had to rely on help to beat The Undertaker, thus making Shane McMahon heel. And then his guy, you know, then that makes Finn Balor and Shane McMahon connected. And that therefore makes Finn Balor a heel. That's not what they need right now. That's not what, and that's a weird connection to make. Shane McMahon and Finn Balor suddenly being the best of pals. And it's just, it's so bizarre to think of that. And yet I still start to think that that might be one of the better outcomes. Not a good outcome, but a better outcome.
I can only think that the connection there would be the fact that Shane has promised that there'd be an influx of new talent, of better talent. And I think that will be what connects them, if indeed they go that route. I'm just sitting here and I'm trying to work out everything in my head about how they could possibly pull this off. And again, I'm looking forward to the spectacle. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do, to seeing how many sacrifices both men take. And I am very intrigued by the ending. I'm not saying I'm going to be particularly satisfied with it. And any Undertaker loss at WrestleMania is a jolt to the system, especially for someone like me who's pretty much watched this whole streak from beginning to end.
Wow.
I know, that's how old I am. But it's... I'm just really looking forward to the match. And I've been racking my brain all day before we started recording about how I was actually going to put into words exactly what makes me intrigued by this match. I am very much I always enjoyed Shane McMahon up until the Kane feud. I always enjoyed Shane McMahon, and I always thought he was a great character, and he does come across as a man of the people as opposed to a McMahon. So I think there's an element to that, but I'm just intrigued by the whole part of it. I've got a feeling I'm going to come out of Sunday and I'm going to be very disappointed. I'm going to be very upset. And possibly, using your word, Darren, I might feel slightly insulted. My intelligence might feel insulted. But at the same time, part of me is saying, well, if Shane McMahon wins, no matter how bad I think the ending is, and it heralds a new start and a big, massive shake-up to WWE, I would probably take it.
I'm dying to know the ending, but I can't say I'm looking forward to the match to the same token.
That's fair enough. So who do you think is going to come out of the match? I know we just spent 10 minutes talking about possible endings, but what is your official prediction?
Similar to the Roman Reigns situation, I've actually gone against the grain. I've picked The Undertaker to win, partly because I want The Undertaker to win because, you know, he's The Undertaker, and I don't like just the thought of Undertaker losing to anybody at WrestleMania, let alone somebody... You know, a part-time guy who isn't a wrestler, who's a McMahon, and da-da-da-da. It doesn't sit well with me. So I pulled for The Undertaker. Plus, you know, WWE has done this before where they've loaded up one side of the match and then just stuck to the, you know, path of least resistance.
Yeah.
And nothing rides on an Undertaker. They could still find a way to put Shane McMahon in charge. Of course they could. But I don't feel good about my prediction. But I think for my own sanity, I had to say, no, I'm going to back the Undertaker horse because that's the right thing to do, as opposed to the smart thing to do when it comes to betting.
One more thing we need to discuss about this match. If the Undertaker does lose... calm down. If he does lose, is that it for WrestleMania, or do they just forget about the stipulation next year, or they just break the stipulation next year?
I have no faith in them sticking to that at all. And I wouldn't want The Undertaker to wrestle his last match anywhere other than a WrestleMania. Yeah. So I just think they'll find a way. John Cena will do something to beg and beg and plead and plead. And he, you know, babyface Shane McMahon will say, okay, screw it, he can have one more match at WrestleMania. I don't have faith in them holding themselves to that stipulation.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Shane goes, okay, he can have one more match, but that's his final match, no matter what the outcome. And then you've got a built-in story as to why the WrestleMania match is his final match. And he can ride off into the sunset.
And avenge his loss to Shane McMahon.
Yeah, I can see you don't particularly like that scenario.
not even slightly Hayden. I've held back on how much I dislike that Denaro.
I know. I have got a random question for you, though.
Go on.
And this is based on an interview that came out on Thursday, today, as we record. How bad must the Christmases have been in Shane McMahon's house that this match is the best present he's ever given his kids?
I know. The best present Shane McMahon, with all of his millions upon millions of dollars, can give him is the chance to have, you know, watch his kids getting beat to hell by a satanic wizard. That's an odd present.
I've never heard The Undertaker being described as a satanic wizard. That's brilliant.
That means you haven't seen Wrestling Isn't Wrestling by Max Landis, because that's where he calls The Undertaker a satanic wizard.
I have watched it, but I completely forgot about that.
I watch it daily.
Is that your commute watch?
Yep, every day I just watch that back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
I bet you say the words along with it now.
It's like karaoke to me.
Moving on. The next match I've got down is the Dean Ambrose against Brock Lesnar match. Now, before I give you the floor, Darren, I'm just going to address something, because my preview went up on Wednesday, and I had a bit of feedback from people, and thank you very much, everyone, for getting in touch. But the one thing that everyone seemed to push back on is my choice of Dean Ambrose winning this match. Now, I'm just going to clarify something. In a perfect world, and if WWE were doing their job properly, or at least doing their job and not playing potentially political games and pushing Brock Lesnar as the unstoppable monster that he should be, he really shouldn't be losing this match. No way, no how. Really, he should not be losing this match. They should keep him strong for either a heel or a babyface champion down the line to be, in quotes, made by beating the Beast, the guy that no one else could beat. With that being said, Brock is not currently in that position anymore. After last year's WrestleMania, in my opinion, Brock has been defined down. For whatever reason that is, he's just not being pushed as seriously as he was before. And if you want evidence for that, look at the Royal Rumble. Yes, it took four men to eliminate him, but if he was being seriously pushed the way that Brock should be, and because he lost the chance to regain the championship title, the normal Brock would have gone absolutely, and excuse the language, batshit crazy. And for weeks and weeks, until he had actually got all the Wyatt's heads on sticks, he wouldn't have stopped. Instead, he kind of just shrugged his shoulders, walked on, and he's had a brief bits and bobs with Wyatt's, but apart from that, he's just moved on to the next thing. So that is why, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts in a second, Darren, but this is why I'm picking Dean to win, because in my eyes, WWE are putting a lot more into him at the moment, and I can see this being the momentum getter to push him in a feud against possibly Roman Reigns if he turns heel, like we discussed earlier. It's certainly not what I think should happen. I don't think Dean should be going over. But based on the way they have positioned Brock at the moment, I can basically see him losing to Dean after taking 50 chair shots and the Wyatt's interfering and all the other shenanigans that they probably got planned. So yeah, I just wanted to address that now, is the fact that my predictions were not based on what I want to actually see. It's what I actually see, or how I see the landscape in WWE at the moment.
That's very interesting, Hayden. You've made some contrarian points there that I hadn't considered, but here's my thing on this, and why I've picked Brock Lesnar to go over here. When they had Brock Lesnar break the streak, Lesnar's next loss was one of, if not the most important result in the history of WWE. Yeah. Whoever beats him clean has to be absolute 100% certified gold the next guy. That has to happen. I know he isn't as hot as he was last year and things like that, so perhaps he's more open to losing right now, but I don't think it's now. Anything less, this Brock Lesnar loss, which will happen at some point, he's not going to retire unbeaten. That first Lesnar loss has to happen in the main event of WrestleMania, with 3 months build, with Lesnar as champion, having conquered everybody. Anything less than that, you wasted the streak. Absolutely, unequivocally, you wasted the streak. And it has to be against, again, the absolute Adonis, the absolute chosen one, has to be the one to beat Brock Lesnar. Now, I don't think that's Dean Ambrose, for a reason I'm going to get into in a second, but then there's always the chance that we'll never actually find somebody fitting of that title, someone, an absolute dead cert, other than Dalton Castle, to be that guy. So maybe, I could come over to your side of the fence maybe a little to say, okay, let's say they do think, right, everyone loves Dean Ambrose, he's relatively young, he's injury free, Roman's tanking, we need to do something to get ourselves a new hot babyface, let's go with Dean. Maybe. I don't think Dean's that guy. He lost to Triple H at Roadblock. He loses more times than he wins, really. I know that's part of his appeal. He's a babyface being built on his back as opposed to Roman Reigns who's being built on his feet. And obviously we know which one of those two methods is working better. But I just don't think it's Dean Ambrose. I think they're going to stick to it. And maybe next year, with Lesnar as champion in the main event, we'll know who they'd pick to be the chosen one. Please God, don't let it be Roman. But they'll maybe have decided on somebody by then to be the next guy. And that's why I'm still going with Brock Lesnar here.
And this is the thing, and it's going to sound at first like I'm contradicting myself from earlier on. I don't agree that Dean Ambrose is that guy. I really, really don't. But I just don't see Brock being positioned the way that he should be. Everything you said, completely spot on. He's the conqueror of the streak. He has so much equity built up in him. And yes, I completely agree. The person who beats him should be the person that goes on and is the next god or whatever. But I just get this sense. Every time I see Brock Lesnar at the moment, he's not being positioned as someone who holds that equity. And I do seriously, seriously worry, in a way, that Dean Ambrose is going to go over him, which is why I picked him, simply because if I don't know if this is correct, but I've heard stories that Brock is going to be away until SummerSlam. I just think in WWE's mind, they're not even thinking about the streak anymore. I think they've just put that to bed now. I think they're just basically thinking, right, in the here and now, we want Dean to be hot moving into the next feud. We need to get Brock away and explain why he's going to be away until the summer. And I fear that it's going to be a case of the Wyatts come in, because of the rules of the match, they're going to take out Brock, and then we'll have to wait until the summer for Brock to get his revenge. I just think that they're not looking at the bigger picture, the way that Brock has been booked recently, and they're just looking at in a vacuum and basically thinking, yeah, this is the perfect way to get Dean over, explain why Brock is away, and potentially get Bray Wyatt hot again.
Okay, let's have some positivity in this podcast. We've had three matches on the bench of nothing but things. This is the thing. This is the match that I am looking forward to the most on the WrestleMania card. Yes. This is the one that I'm saying this has the potential to be awesome. Because Dean Ambrose in singles matches, bog standard singles matches, has started to grate on me a little bit. And this is why I don't think he's a chosen one. He does the same moves. They all blend together. Oh, here comes the rope. You know, swingy clothesline, here comes the scoot round on the apron, here's this, here's that, da da da. But put him in a match that's more about story than moves, and Dean Ambrose excels.
Yeah.
He's on a plane almost unto himself when it's time to do some storytelling in brutal fashion. That is set up perfectly here. We've seen the chemistry he has with Brock Lesnar when he's fighting from underneath. He's going to be fighting from underneath for the vast majority of this match, and I'm excited to see that happen. I'm excited to see scrappy Dean Ambrose try his best to fell the beast. That's going to be freaking awesome. And that is why this, of all matches on this card, this is the one I can point to without any shadow of a doubt or any, you know, caveats. This match excites me so very much.
Yeah, and the fact is that both are so unpredictable, you know, but both are not going to cower behind anything. They're just going to go balls to the wall, throw absolutely everything at each other, and it's going to be freaking awesome. It will be awesome, and especially with the stipulation, the fact that all weapons are legal, and it's essentially a jazzed up hardcore match. But at the same time, these two are just going to tear it apart, and they're going to tear each other apart, and it's going to be exciting. So are you going to stick to Brock Lesnar going over as your official prediction?
I am, because I need him to win. I need them to protect that streak loss for as long as possible. So, yeah, Dean, you're great. You're going to have a solid gold year, but I don't think it started. In fact, Dean Ambrose can gain just as much from losing. Okay, maybe not as much as he would be for beating Brock Lesnar, but he's still going to gain a lot from a competitive loss to Brock Lesnar, because he's Teflon. He can just shake off losses, and next week he'll be fine, because he's the antidote to Roman Reigns. So he's going to be fine, win or lose here.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Dean Ambrose. I know.
I'm brave.
I'm going against the grain, and I hope I've explained my reasons for it. But I'm going to stick to Dean Ambrose, and for once, and Darren, you know me, I hate being wrong, but for once, I hope I am wrong. Next up is AJ Styles against Chris Jericho. And Darren, if I'm being honest here, and talking about my prediction piece on the website, I actually said on there that both men had beaten each other once, when in fact, AJ Styles is leading the feud by 2-1. But for me, doesn't that say a lot about how memorable this feud has been before the Jericho heel turn, which, by the way, I think has been fantastic? Do you share that opinion, Darren? Do you think that is the heel turn has saved the feud?
No.
Really?
I am so very over 2016 Chris Jericho.
Right.
Ever since he tried to, you know, come, when he first came back and he had the Codebreaker thing, fantastic, excellent work, some of the best of his career. When he tried to do it essentially again with the he's coming, the apocalypse, the world is about to change, that was just such a, you know, a misfire, such a dud of a thing.
Yeah.
Ever since then, he's never recovered from that, because it just feels like we're just going through the motions. Even this heel Chris Jericho hasn't done anything for me, because I'm just so... I used to love Chris Jericho. He used to be one of my favourites, but I'm just so over him. So, no, unfortunately, heel Chris Jericho has not saved the feud for me. And this is another thing. It feels so odd. I don't think this was the plan coming out of the Royal Rumble, because considering the night after the Royal Rumble, this was a first-time ever match, had never happened before in the human history. They've somehow gone from that, not 2 months ago, to me thinking, oh, I hope this feud ends because I'm really bored of it.
Wow.
Mm.
I kind of agree with you, because I was kind of shocked, because I can't remember what event it was. I don't know if it was Fastlane, but I think it was either the night or the night after. Kevin Owens tweeted something to AJ Styles along the lines of, me, you, WrestleMania, or something along those lines. I wish I could remember off the top of my head. But that's the direction I thought they were going in. It was kind of a shock. I've enjoyed Chris Jericho as a heel. I really enjoyed his promo at Roadblock. I love the way he's been getting under the fans' skin. Just reading this Twitter page as well has been fascinating, because he's completely stayed in character. Even when people have been tweeting, in quotes, smart comments, he's responded in a heel fashion. I really, really quite like that. So, for me, the heel turn saved the actual feud, because it was starting to drag both men down. I can see your point of view in regards to it not being the Chris Jericho of old, but at the same time, I think I've lowered my expectations with Chris Jericho in the last couple of years, simply because he is getting older, and again, no disrespect, and sometimes you're not as on the ball as he used to be, shall we say.
No disrespect for getting older. I don't think that's not disrespectful, Hayden. No disrespect to the linear passage of time. But
yeah. Well, you're always disrespectful to me when it comes to my age.
Oh, no, I'm not. It's meant with love. You can just call me young. I'll be ever so insulted.
Yeah, of course you will be.
Obviously. Well, this thing, I keep thinking, had they not had this match prior to WrestleMania, had they completely kept you up and said, for the first time ever at WrestleFreakingMania, it's going to be Chris Jericho versus AJ Styles, I think I'd just be that much more hyped for this match. Because I don't think Chris Jericho can have a good match. So that's not my problem. It's very much him on the microphone that is my problem. And the scarf, because the scarf.
Oh, the scarf irritates me.
And his podcast irritates me, and his general demeanour irritates me now.
My general rule in life is if you see someone wearing a scarf like that, punch him in the face.
I mean, I don't condone violence, but no, maybe. But
in that scenario,
If I could make an exception, it would be that. this thing, had they saved it, I think I would be more hyped. But the fact that they've actually shown that AJ is the better man already, that if they were coming in this to 1-1, again, maybe I'd be a little bit more hyped. I'd still think AJ Styles is going to win, but it just seems so one-sided. They've shown that AJ is better. We all kind of think that AJ is going to win. I can't foresee AJ Styles losing in his first WrestleMania to, I think it's like 16, 17 matches plus Chris Jericho. So, yeah, that's... Mm.
And that's the thing, you know, you make a good point, because if Chris Jericho goes over here, then what benefit, what's the, who benefits from it, basically? Because, yeah, it goes 2-2, and then perhaps the feud continues. But, as you said, they've already shown that AJ Styles was the better man coming out of the original feud. So, I can't see anything but an AJ Styles win here. And if Chris Jericho goes over and they make it 2-2 and they go to Extreme Rules and have the final match, I think you're dragging it on further.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's already dragged to the point where it's at a breaking point for me. Obviously, that was previous for you, but for me, this it has to end at this event.
Mm-hmm.
So AJ Styles has to go over.
Things have to end at WrestleMania. You can't have WrestleMania be a middle part of a feud. Things have to end there. And that's what I mean. Again, AJ is going to be going all out to have an awesome WrestleMania debut. And I sincerely hope he does, because he's AJ Styles and he's awesome. And I hope this name, you know, sends him off onto bigger and better things. But I can't say that the build-up to this point has really jazzed me all that much. I'm more banking on AJ Styles and Chris Jericho pulling one out on the night. That sounded wrong. I mean, that would spice up WrestleMania if one of them did indeed pull one out on WrestleMania.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Laugh at my poor choice of words.
I was trying to bite my lip then.
Wow, that would be a WrestleMania moment.
So moving on from that poor choice of words. So your official prediction for this match is?
I'm going with AJ Styles. It's too obvious for me that that's what's going to happen.
And I completely and totally agree. Right, the next match is the ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship, which is Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Sin Cara, Zack Ryder, The Miz, and Stardust. Your thoughts, my friend?
Zack Ryder. They did this last year with R-Truth, but Zack Ryder's even more of a... He's been on Raw maybe 5 times. And I could go out right now and name you 5 people that have been more prominent faces on Raw this year than Zack Ryder, but... Okay, we'll get over it.
In all fairness, though, from reports, the original space was for Neville. So obviously, because of the injury, it was last minute. And I know they could have probably found someone better than Zack Ryder, but I do think that Neville was supposed to be in that role.
Oh, okay, but Tyler Breeze.
Fair point. Well made.
Bray Wyatt is still not got a match booked for this show yet, etc. That aside. I agree with everyone's criticism that, you know, they're putting a lot of talent into this match that really could be better served in singles matches without the need to go smacking into the back of a ladder, which, you know, if avoidable, is preferable. But and this should have been the United States Championship match as opposed to the IC match. If it means that had they gone the other way, the IC title match would be on the pre-show, I agree, that shouldn't have happened, but... What a way to send people into WrestleMania than to have the pre-show headlined by a United States ladder match. If I wasn't buying WrestleMania and I watched that on the free preview, my God, would I be buying WrestleMania. Anyway, if we put all that aside, there is a lot of talent in this match. And I am hopeful that they're going... We know what Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens can do with ladders. We all saw ladder wars between Jericho and Steen. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's that's going to be the focal point, I think, of this match, is Sami versus Kevin Owens. And I hope they don't blow their load there, because I would like to see them, you know, I want that feud to be given its proper dues, because we know how good it could be and should be. But then you think of all the bells and whistles on the side of that. You're going to have Dolph Ziggler selling like a madman. You're going to have, hopefully, the death of Stardust. I don't mean like he's going to die in the ring. I mean this is Stardust's last showing. And at some point, we see the break and he becomes... He doesn't become Cody Rhodes in the match, but you know what I mean. He, like, you know, wipes away the makeup or does something to indicate no more Stardust.
Something symbolic.
Yes, something symbolic to say, right, no more Stardust, it's Cody Rhodes' time. And you all know I'm a huge Cody Rhodes fan, and I'm really hoping that he will finally win the gimmick lottery and finally get something that works. And we don't have to have another 6 months of, oh, he's got another terrible gimmick, oh, here we go, here we go. There's potential for maybe not greatness, because I don't think there's enough momentum going into it to be a truly great WrestleMania ladder match, but there's enough room for spectacle. Last year's was pretty good. It was a car crash, and there were some really dangerous bumps in there, but last year's was admittedly a good opener. Hopefully this can be the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a case of Zack Ryder, The Miz, and Stardust being the cannon fodder, as it will. Dolph Ziggler, as you said, is going to be bumping around like a madman. Sin Cara is in the match because he's going to do something insane with the ladder. And it's going to come down to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I wrote in my predictions that there's going to be thousands upon thousands of people wanting Sami Zayn to come out this as winner, but I don't want him to win this match. And it's simply because I don't want him to win gold until they tell his backstory, until you can really get behind him. So I'm going to predict that Kevin Owens is going to win here. Sami Zayn is going to come close. Whether it leads to an Owens-Zayn feud leading out of WrestleMania, I don't know, because I'm hoping for an Owens-AJ Styles feud first. But I do think Kevin Owens retains here.
I concur. I do think they're going to go to Sami Zayn. I just don't think they have the patience that is necessary to tell that story properly, and they'll want to hotshot it. I say fear. I still think they have, given enough time and mic time, they can both sell this story no problem, going into Extreme Rules beyond that. And you're right. The first step of that story is not Sami Zayn winning the title. Same reason why I don't want Bayley to come out on Raw on Monday and win the Divas title. That's not how those characters are meant to be built. They are not all conquering badasses. They are every man underdogs. So having him win a ladder match at his first ever WrestleMania, that goes against that. I hope he has a very good showing, and I hope Kevin Owens ultimately screws him to win the title by, you know, pinning him under the ladder or doing something. What you can do that's underhanded in a ladder match, I don't know, but you get my meaning. Kevin Owens costing the match when he really shouldn't have. That's what I hope coming out of this. And I just hope it's a good match and there's no suicidal bumps.
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be crazy bumps. I accept that. They're going to want to try and steal the show, but hopefully nothing too reckless. They have enough injury problems as it is. I don't think I could deal with Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens going down right now.
And that's the thing, Dean Ambrose last year, that the sick bump he took at the end of it.
Oh, God, yeah.
Was just insane. And that made me cringe to start off WrestleMania. And, you know, I don't want to see that this year. You've mentioned the Divas. And as a good segue into the next match, Charlotte against Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks for the Divas Championship. How do you see this one going down?
Well, I'm happy that the empty Divas Revolution still arrived at the point it was supposed to.
Right.
I'm glad that even though it was a mess and it went nowhere and ultimately meant nothing, it did arrive at the destination it had to, which was these three treated with respect, somewhat, in a match for a title on the WrestleMania card. I was fearful they'd do a Battle Royal or something, you know, every diva ever in a tag match. We are getting that, but we've also got this one, thankfully.
Yeah.
And the build has been ropey. It could have been a lot worse, judging by previous years. It could have been a lot worse. But I don't think they've done anything terrible to ruin this build. So, and now we arrive at this point where it's match time. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see what these three can put on.
I am excited, and I'll be honest, I haven't thought about it from the perspective of it could have been a lot worse. I've been looking at it, I think, too much from the perspective of I know they could have done it so much better. And that's the only thing that bothers me about this. when all three of them are in the ring, I think it's going to be a great showcase for the women of WWE. Not the divas, the women of WWE. And I am excited for the actual match. I really wish they had built Becky and Sasha up a lot more than they have. Putting Becky and Sasha on commentary where they just bitched at each other was just... It was cringe. It was cringeworthy. But... And the other thing that that's really irritating is the fact that when Charlotte has been around them, she has talked down to them and they haven't responded, which I just... If you're trying to build up a challenger, or challengers in this case, you need to make sure that they don't look weak in comparison to the champion. And for that reason, I don't believe that they've built up Becky or Sasha to a level where they are champions in waiting, shall we say. So I think Charlotte is going to retain.
See, I also have Charlotte to retain, but I just keep going back to the fact of they could have got to this point in a lot worse ways. I think I've just been so burnt out with Divas builds over the years that I'm just thankful that they didn't royally screw this up. I know that sounds like I'm clutching at straws, but ultimately I am. And I'm just thankful that they've managed to get to this point without really turning the crowd against them, which was something that could have happened a few months ago when everyone was hating on the Divas Revolution. I think position on the card is going to be important. I don't think this is a match that should go on later on in the card, because I would like the fans to be up for this match, at least to some extent. So I think second, possibly third match on the card, that's where I would slot this. Get them early, they're still excited, they're not burnt out from too much wrestling. And hopefully they've had a chance to rehearse this match to be able to go out there and give an NXT standard of women's matches. That's what I'm hoping for. And I think Charlotte retaining is important in that scenario, because if Bayley's coming, I want her to be up against a heel champion, not a newly crowned champion. I'm not saying I want her to win the title. That's not what I want at all. But if they're going to treat Bayley as I think they're going to, because they kind of misunderstand her character as they do with everybody in NXT, they're going to put her straight into a title feud. If that happens, it has to be against Charlotte, I think.
I do think it's refreshing, and to be positive as well, it is refreshing the fact that we look at the build for this, which has been decent but not great, as disappointing. As you said, years ago in Diva matches, you know, we would have just been thankful for any kind of build like this.
Mm-hmm.
One word answer, Darren, does Bayley show up on Monday?
Yes.
Moving on to the match which I am the least looking forward to.
Hold the phone. Now, I know you're not just about to say the New Day versus the League of Nations.
I am indeed.
Let me explain something to you, Hayden.
You can explain as much as you want, but you're not going to convince me. But
let
go on, give it a go.
Explain. Unlike every other match in the history of my time watching wrestling, this is so much more about the entrance than it is about the match. The possibilities for a New Day WrestleMania babyface entrance are limitless, but I have narrowed it down to thus. They either come in astride one giant unicorn, or two, or three slightly smaller unicorns. That's what I want. Anything short of that, tragedy. If Rusev can get a tank, the New Day can have unicorns. Now, I'd even settle for horses that have had horns stuck on their heads. Now, yes, the match is ultimately pants, because they're up against the League of Nations, who are just, they're the League of Nations and the lads, and they're all friends, but they're not really friends, they don't really talk to each other, and we know Sheamus and Barrett are friends, but we don't really know why Rusev's there, or Del Rio, etc, etc, etc. It's a terrible group, it's basically the new Nexus. In fact, it's even worse, it's the core. Unfortunately, it is the core. But New Day have actually been getting a lot better in the ring. Like, they were always okay, but the last few times they've been on pay-per-views and had big-time matches, they've actually put on very good matches. And there's a lot of talent in the League of Nations. It's being misused at the moment, but there's a lot of talent there. They could pull this out, but that doesn't matter. It's all about the entrance. This match will live and die on that entrance, and I expect it to be goddamn glorious. Hayden, continue.
I'm still not sold on the New Day. I'm a big believer in being emotionally behind an act one way or another. You either hate them or you want to see them do well. With New Day, they're funny, I suppose. they have some witty moments, I suppose. But am I supposed to hate them? Am I supposed to like them? I guess at the moment I'm supposed to like them. But why do I like them? Because they have fake cereal and they have unicorn horns. I don't know if it's a generational thing. I don't know if it's because I'm in my 30s. I don't get it. I just don't find it particularly amusing or what. But I just can't get behind New Day.
Everything you just said is 100% completely true. I agree with you wholeheartedly on most of that. But it does appeal to me.
Yeah.
And I want to see giant unicorns.
So, don't get me wrong, please. And there's going to be people out there listening who at the moment are shouting at me. And I have heard people shout at me about New Day before, about my opinion on them.
Yes, it was me.
Yeah, I hear it in my dreams. I wake up and just hear your voice.
You're an idiot!
But I can understand the appeal. They just don't appeal to me. And
okay.
Beyond that, there's nothing. If you know what I mean. There's no substance behind it. So you either like them for the way they are, or you don't. There's nothing else to get behind.
That's no problem. I agree with everything you say, so... There's undeniably going to be a comedy act sooner rather than later that I don't like. And you may do, and we'll disagree over that come the time.
Yeah.
But one thing I wish they'd clarify with this match just quickly, are the tag team titles on the line?
Not as far as I'm aware. I'm sure I read something yesterday that said that they're not on the line. There's been a lot of confusion about this, and I think on a pre-show before a Raw... One of the hosts said that it was on the line, but I'm sure something came out today that basically said they're not on the line. But again, okay. I'm using the word should. I think maybe, you know what I mean. They should have clarified this way before now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's odd because that would seem to indicate that the league's going over. Plus the fact that Kofi beat Alberto Del Rio on Raw. Negative momentum means that the league should be going over. But if they are trying to put out a fire in Triple H and Roman Reigns, you don't start that by putting the New Day, by putting the league over the New Day. That's crazy talk. That's how fires start. So they better not be about to make the New Day lose at WrestleMania, because that's just going to start the nuclear war earlier than expected.
And just on a quick point that I made in my preview, I do feel sorry for Rusev. 12 months ago, he made possibly the greatest entrance of all time in WrestleMania by coming out in a tank. And this year, he's facing a team that are going to be coming out on unicorns.
Yeah, isn't it great?
So, are you going to officially predict New Day to win?
Of course I am.
I'm going to predict New Day to win simply because I don't care either way.
What about the pair of positivity?
The match is going to be okay. The match is not going to suck. It's not going to suck the life out of the crowd. It's not going to suck the life out of me. But I'm not emotionally invested in this match at all, in any way, shape, or form. Apart from the fact, I suppose, Wade Barrett is British and he used to go to school in Cardiff. But apart from that...
And he's not going to be around for much longer.
I know.
Wait, that just means we're down to Neville. And he's got a broken foot. Oh, no.
Yeah.
We need some more British people.
Well, there's Hugo Knox in NXT.
Oh, yeah, we'll be waiting 10 years before he ever gets to anything, to any championship, so thanks for that, Hayden. Oh, I so hope, because they're doing all this stuff with the British independence now, I so hope there's just a new wave of English talent coming in, because we need a champion. We've never had one. I mean, you're Welsh, you're going to be waiting even longer than we are, but...
I got Mark Andrews.
Yeah, yay.
And Mason Ryan, are you still out there? Oh, hang on, let's move on.
Oh, you poor, poor man. It's Ryan Giggs all over again. waiting on an English guy to bring you some glory.
We've just confused 90% of the people listening right now.
Look at Ryan Giggs, you'll be happy you did.
Just not shirtless, because it's very confusing.
Hey,
he's not a bear.
He's a good-looking dude. I'm not having you talk bad about Ryan Giggs.
Moving on. How did we get onto Ryan Giggs? Anyway, we're going to go through the pre-show matches now, because Kalisto against Ryback for the US title has been moved to the pre-show. Do you have a problem with this at all, Darren?
What, moving to the pre-show or the match at all?
Well, both.
Moving to the pre-show, no. I think that's ultimately where it is. I'd like them to try and set up this pre-show to have a main event. So if surely it's not going to be an hour long because they've got four matches, one of which involves half the roster. An hour seems an awfully short time to get all that done if they're going to be rushing.
I think it's 2 hours long, the pre-show.
Oh, okay. Then that's better. This could be seen as the main event of the pre-show. And it's just such an odd thing to think that this is a match on WrestleMania. There's an even odder one we're going to talk about in a second. But, you know, they're working with the big man, little man dynamic. Ryback's going to be able to be a great base for Kalisto. There's a chance this could be fun. I'm not expecting it to, I don't think. And I did actually think that Ryback was going to be facing Goldberg at this WrestleMania. I just thought, with, you know, him turning heel, him getting the black trunks, I thought we'd be heading that way. This is where we've ended up. It's very odd to think that this is where we've ended up. But yeah. It's not outside the realms of possibility for this to be a fun match.
That's the thing, you know. Both can work. I know people are really down on Ryback. But for a big man, he's not too bad. You know, I've seen a lot worse.
A lot worse.
Exactly, you know. So it should be fun. And I was actually there when Kalisto beat Ryback in the championship tournament back in November, I think it was.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and that was a pretty decent match. I remember watching it and I was wowed by it, you know. I think it was more because because my expectations were low, you know, as opposed to it being a five-star classic. But it was still a pretty good match, so I'm quite looking forward to this. They've done an awful, awful job of building it. But, you know, at the same time, I really like your thought in terms of this is the main event of the pre-show. I do like that because a two-hour pre-show is quite long. You know, it's not what they usually do.
That's ridiculous when you consider that WrestleMania is going to be 4 hours. So that means there's going to be 6 hours.
And I could be wrong here, but I believe there's an hour special before all this on the USA Network in America.
Good God.
I could be wrong about this, but, you know, there's been talk of 7 hours of WrestleMania, essentially.
No one needs 7 hours of wrestling.
But going back to the positives, this should be a decent match, and I'm looking forward to it. I do wish that Kalisto, I knew more about him, why I want to get behind him. But I'll take the little man, big man dynamic here, and hopefully Kalisto comes out with the win. What's your official prediction, Darren?
I've gone for Kalisto as well. In its positioning as what I think will be the main event of the pre-show, you don't want a heel to go over. That just makes no sense to advertise your show to people. So I think this is Kalisto's to win.
Talking of main events and what should have been the main event of the actual main show, I think, Total Divas, Brie Bella, Paige, Natalya, Alicia Fox, and Eva Marie versus VAD and Blonde, Naomi, Tamina, Emma, Lana, and Summer Rae. This surely should have been on the main card, Darren.
It's unprofessional of me to make a farty noise with my mouth on an audio podcast, but trust me, that's what I want to do right now. Because
it's not like you to remain professional.
No, I know. No, this. Why are we even talking about this, Hayden? Yeah. This is the ugly head of the old way of booking divas rearing up, with Eva Marie on a WrestleMania card. Good. Right, Team Total Branding is going to win, and that's the end of it.
I'm gonna go for the same. I think this is gonna be. This is essentially the Total Divas episode played out. Around WrestleMania, and I think it's just going to be that, basically. I think we're going to get the main build-up for this on Total Divas, which, unfortunately, Darren, I know you don't watch it, but I'm forced to watch it.
Don't give me that business. You're not forced to watch anything.
My girlfriend says to me, if you want me to get into wrestling, sit down and watch this Total Divas with me. She's fascinated by it.
Then what you do is you don't get your girlfriend into wrestling. That's just simple. It's the lesser of two evils, Hayden.
Well, I did take it to TNA, so I do need to make it.
Oh, God, you're an awful human being.
An awful boyfriend as well. No, it wasn't too bad.
Yes, it was. It was TNA.
Moving on. You're going to get me into trouble, Darren.
I have to have a dig at TNA in an audio podcast. It's just my thing, okay?
Anyone who's listened to our ROH audios knows that.
Yes.
The next match, the Usos against the Dudleys. I will leave you to rant, Darren.
Someone accidentally put the, middle of the show house show match on the WrestleMania card. I mean, that's a mistake that I thought they would have caught out by now, but apparently not. It's on the pre-show, so fine, and it gives the tag team something to do, but could they not have... Say this match dropped, it didn't happen. Would anyone care? If there was any match that's going to get cut for time constraints, it will be this one. And it could be fun. The Usos are a great tag team. When they have momentum, the Usos are awesome. The Dudleys, not really showing me much since coming back. They've just kind of been treading water. What they can do here, I don't know. But I cared so little about this match that my prediction says the Dudleys beat the Usos. And yet I don't know how I came to that conclusion. I have no idea why I've picked the Dudleys, but I'm not going to change it because I don't care. I just don't know why I thought the Dudleys are going to win this, but there you go.
I do care slightly. I'm slightly annoyed because I really like the Usos, only because, first of all, I think they're really good in the ring. They're not perfect, they're not phenomenal, but they're as a tag team, they're really good. And I hate to bring this up, but I've already mentioned the fact that I watched Total Divas, and the Uso that's married to Naomi, that's his official name, he hasn't actually got a name, shows a lot of personality. And he's actually quite a funny, he comes across as a funny, nice guy. And when the Dudleys attacked the Usos and left them lying, and the Usos were away for a week, I was thinking, yes, this is the moment. The Usos are going to come back, and they're not going to do their usual, you say Uso, or whatever, I can't even bother to do it. But they came out a couple of weeks later, instead of saying, we're going to get you Dudleys, we're going to get you back for what you did to us, they just went straight back to the routine. And that was just so frustrating. And ever since then, this match has been dead to me, because they just basically lost complete interest in it. So that's exactly what I've done as well.
And the award for most straws clutched in a single statement goes to... Oh, it's Hayden Gleed. Oh, come on,
yes.
Then.
Well, thank done, you. Well, thank done. You. Do I get a round of applause?
There you go.
Thank you.
Now, let's move on, please. Please.
Let's move on. And to the final match that we're going to talk about, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
I have complete and utter clarity on what I want to happen here.
Okay.
I mean 100% clarity. Because I toyed with the idea of, oh, if Bray won, at least he won on WrestleMania. But I was like, he's going to have to win the Andre. That's below Bray Wyatt's station at this point. Then I thought, well, if Cesaro's healthy and Cesaro comes back and win this, that could be nice. But it's not that his first win went anywhere, etc. Then I had an idea that has took deep root in my brain. Tyler Breeze, just run with me on this. Tyler Breeze wins the Dre. And then think of the hilarious situations that come out of that. One, he's going to have to try and pose next to Andre the Giant. That's not easy. Andre the Giant was many things, but, dashingly handsome wasn't one of them. But then that leads into the other funny thing that could happen is that Tyler Breeze gives the Dre a makeover. He puts little shades on Andre, gets him like a little mink coat, etc., tassels on his boots. And then they're the new power couple. Is it Tyler Breeze and
the power couple?
It's Tyler Breeze and the Andre the Giant statue are the new it thing in WWE. That's what I want, and anything less will be a joke.
I have no words.
I want you to come up with a better scenario than that is actually entertaining, considering you're dealing with the social outcast, Undertaker, Kane, etc.
I'll be honest, I can't come up with anything that entertaining. I will say, if I'm being honest and serious, that would be quite funny for a week, and then I would get quite bored of it.
No, you wouldn't. Tyler Breeze is incredibly funny. Like when they ever gave him a chance to be funny on NXT, he was awesome. Like, there was an interview he had with Neville. It was, like, part of a promo class, so he obviously wasn't on NXT. He was really funny, and as, like, a very much a low-card thing, this could be quite entertaining. And I will not hear any arguments to the contrary, Hayden. I have you snookered. Okay. Admit it. You are snookered.
Well, I'm just as you were talking then, I just brought up who's announced at the moment for the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and it does smack to me that WWE just don't care about it. So putting something like the Tyler Breeze comedy aspect to it would probably be the best outcome, because at the moment they've got Heath Slater, Curtis Axel, Adam Rose, Bo Dallas, Big Show, Kane, Tyler Breeze, Mark Henry, Jack Swagger, Fandango, Damian Sandow, Darren Young, Connor, Victor, Goldust, and R-Truth. Wow.
And you tell me that, I love Damian Sandow, and I want him to be better. That doesn't start with winning the Dre. He should have won it last year, admittedly. Yeah. That was why, in the name of all that's good and holy, they went with Big Show last year. I don't know. That was Damian Sandow's time, and look what's happened because he didn't win that thing. But this is not how you restart it. This is how you get to comedy gold of Tyler Breeze posing with the Dre, putting lipstick in a pouty face on Andre the Giant. Best thing ever.
and a selfie stick as well on the
trophy. Yeah, if you put it, that'd be good. No, he turns the trophy into a selfie stick. He has Andre the Giant hold his phone so that he can take a picture. You know what? Every time I think about this idea, it just gets better. So I just don't want to talk about it anymore. You know what I mean? I'd be disappointed now if I don't get this.
So your official prediction is Tyler Breeze, and then he defaces the Andre the Giant.
You say deface, I say make infinitely better. Puts that trophy to good use.
I don't know. I don't know if I can come up with a serious scenario after that now.
No, you can't. I've improved on every aspect. I've given him a better valet than Summer Rae. I just have, okay? Andre the Giant is the chosen one when it comes to being Tyler Breeze's valet. That's the end of it. That's how we go off the air with this WrestleMania preview, Hayden.
And to be fair, the trophy will have more personality than Summer Rae as well.
That's mean to Summer Rae. She's a lovely woman.
I'm sure she's a lovely woman, but a character.
Bland as hell. You're right. Yeah. But like I said, there is no bad about this idea. It's fantastic, and it should happen.
And as you said, I think we should end on that note. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Darren, before we go, is there anything you want to plug?
Well, we have to answer the million-dollar question first, Hayden. Because we are British, we have to make a big decision on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Do we stay up until 4 o'clock in the goddamn morning to watch WrestleMania live, or do we risk going to bed and watching it the next day? Hayden, thoughts?
My thoughts are, I know I get well-meaning emails from people asking me what my opinion is about something that's happened, so I won't be able to avoid spoilers. So I've booked off work. I've actually got written into my schedule. This is how sad and unorganized I'm trying to be at the moment. I've actually got in my organizer nap time between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. so I can be up to watch the whole show. I'm not suggesting that is a particularly interesting way of deciding, but that's my thoughts.
Interesting. See, I have also booked the day off from work because either approach requires me not to be there.
Yeah.
People don't like me as much as you because they don't email me to ask my opinions on anything. so as long as, you know, our American colleagues don't spoil everything by texting me, I'm going to be okay either way I go. Here's the thing. Last Thursday, I stayed up until 4 o'clock in the morning watching Batman vs. Superman. And I did so with relatively little effort. I was kept going with one bottle of Cherry Coke and some jelly beans, and I was fine. So, I'd been up since 7 o'clock that morning. I won't. Yeah. I'll be getting up if it's after midday when I get up. I'll be quite happy. If it's beforehand, I might genuinely be annoyed. So hopefully, I am going to stay awake. That's the plan. I've factored it in so that the next day I can just sleep until whatever time is necessary and wake up and maybe rewatch a few things there.
I'm at the age now where I'm planning on going to the gym, because straight after the gym, I always want a nap. It's nap time after the gym. So I can go to the gym, have a nap, wake up, and then fight my way through to 4 o'clock. But the good thing is, as you said, you know, although we might not stay up until that time, We can always go back the next day and just quickly pick up where we left off, basically.
Yeah, that is my plan, is to kick everyone out of my house so I can watch it in bed. And should I just get that tired, I can literally turn the TV off, straight to sleep, wake up the next morning, fresh as a daisy, carry on watching it. But should we put money on who stays awake the longest?
Well, that's not particularly fair, because I'm an old git.
I'll put a pint on it if you want to go that far.
Oh, a pint.
One entire pint will ride on the fact that I have the ability to stay awake.
So how are we going to judge this? Are we going to have a Twitter discussion? Are we going to every so often check in with each other on Twitter?
The second
so that everyone can see us.
That we're still going. That's the plan. And we'll see who goes down first. I warn you, I have microwavable puddings that are milk-free because I'm allergic that have 55% of my daily recommended sugar.
Right.
That is my go nuclear option. If I eat that, I will stay awake until 4 o'clock. I'll also stay awake until 9:30 the next morning, but I will stay awake if I choose to eat one of those things. So I'm just letting you know that before you put your reputation on the line.
No, I will take your bet of a pint of who stays up the latest. And on that note, because we are promoting our Twitter, where can they find you, Darren?
Very nice, Hayden.
Yeah, you see.
You can find me at The Guthridge, where I will be live tweeting WrestleMania. I will not be live tweeting NXT TakeOver Dallas, and therefore you should not talk to me about NXT TakeOver Dallas until at least midday on Saturday, because I will not be watching that live. I am not staying away.
Darren, this is Saturday night.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, well done, everybody, for not spoiling NXT TakeOver Dallas and the triple moonsault and the cows. Thanks for that. Regardless, you can still find me on Twitter at The Guthridge. Check out my website, www.theguthridgelog.co.uk. I just want to plug a few quick podcasts. We have a dead eight on my sister channel, Foulent, Foulent. You find us on iTunes, wherever we are. There's a Daredevil review, a Batman vs. Superman review, and hopefully our first episode of the Pokemon show will be live by the time you hear this. Hayden, plug away.
You can find me at Hayden Gleet. I will also be tweeting through WrestleMania for however long I stay up. And if you want to check out my written views of WrestleMania, of what I think is going to happen, I've pretty much covered what I've written down, but if you do want to have a quick look over, it is on the main page at the moment. Anything else you want to finish with, Darren?
No, I hope this is a fantastic show. I hope, like last year, they managed to pull the rabbit out of the hat, and Monday night we'll be talking about a fresh, new WWE with Tyler Breeze and Andre the Giant standing tall above all.
As the power couple.
Yes.
And on that note, everybody, thanks for listening. We'll speak to you soon.